Hello, and welcome to Maintenance Phase, the podcast where we have 25 show topics, but only one of them gets a rose. Or gets voted off or something, or the torch gets blown out.
Look, this is already more than I expected you to know about The Bachelor.
We have reached the end of my knowledge. This is it.
You were like, yeah, they get a rose. I was like, oh, I don't have to explain rose ceremonies. Cool.
Okay, so we did in our Halo Top episode, in the rough cut of that episode, we had a very long tangent at the beginning where Aubrey mentioned that she's really into The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Mm. I played the rough cut for my boyfriend and he's like, why is 20% of this episode about The Bachelor? I don't know. And so then we cut it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the reason that 20% of that episode in the rough cut was about The Bachelor is that we stumbled onto one of the most fascinating and bizarre, like, MRA kind of characters on The Bachelor.
Yes.
Which is Mr. Suitcase Full of Protein, Chad.
Yes, Lunch Meat Chad.
Lunch Meat Chad. Oh. So we thought it would be fun to do some little bonus episodes where we talk about things that we're into.
Yes.
And I'm kicking us off with like a pretty indefensible interest of mine, which is The Bachelor.
So we decided to do an entire episode around this where Aubrey explains how The Bachelor works and why she likes it.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. I realized I was writing out sort of like rough show notes for this mm-hmm. last night and this morning. And I realized that I need to start up front by saying, I'm going to explain The Bachelor. I'm not going to defend The Bachelor. So just like, heads up, we'll get into it. There is some like genuinely garbage shit that has happened on The Bachelor in like a pretty public way. Mm-hmm. But also it's reality TV. And this is truly every reality show on some level is pulling this shit, right? Like even Top Chef is famous for getting people up at like 3 a.m. so that they'll be disoriented and mad.
Right.
In some ways it's above and beyond reality show manipulation. And in other ways, it just is standard issue.
I also feel very strongly that people are allowed to like dumb shit.
Yes.
A lot of my evenings I spend watching YouTube recipe videos. I am not going to talk shit on other people's frivolous hobbies. I don't think there's any such thing. I actually came across the other day that, did you know, Aubrey,
ooh,
that the terms highbrow and lowbrow come from like racist phrenology?
Oh man, that totally makes sense.
It makes sense, right? The idea was that black people had like low brow ridges and they're yeah. less intelligent. So like when we talk about things as highbrow or lowbrow, we're reaching back to an extremely gross tradition of trying to sort the human race into like who deserves happiness and is worthwhile mm-hmm. and who is not. And I just feel like it's the same thing that like if people are into like makeup tutorials, which I absolutely am, they are allowed to have those. And if you're into sports or if you're into The Bachelor, you are allowed to have it.
The Michael Hobbs seal of it's fine is what I just got. And I'm like, that's great. I'll take it. All that said, let's talk about The Bachelor.
Yes.
I have two friends that I watch The Bachelor with. They are sisters, mm-hmm. Jen and Jessica, who are like a delight. They are both straight people.
Oh.
They deal very well with me clowning on them for being straight. And like, I make them carry the burden of The Bachelor
nice.
in a lot of ways where I'm like, this is your culture. What do you like about it? The Bachelor first premiered in 2002.
Whoa.
There have been 25 seasons.
Whoa. So it's like, it's a legal adult now.
It's like part of the Great Race Survivor era of like Big Brother, like that kind of era of like, the sort of original wave of early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s reality TV.
The good old union busting days of the reality show wave. Writers went on strike and then it was like, whoops, we're only going to watch reality shows for a decade now.
So like a couple of things to know about The Bachelor. One, it has a major, major, major race problem.
Mm-hmm.
They always cast a handful of like anybody who's not white. Those people reliably get eliminated first.
Okay.
It has had 2 black leads out of their 25 seasons.
Oh, wow.
And one of those 2 is happening right now. They have their first black man as mm-hmm. a lead mm-hmm. right now. They've had all of 2 people who are like any LGBTQ anything gay men are on the show often as kind of props where they're like, I'm the celebrity stylist. And they get sort of like an extremely queenie man or like gender nonconforming gay man.
But then, okay, to defend The Bachelor, a show that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
There is a very good sketch on, I don't know what sketch show it was on, where they tried to do a gay version of The Bachelor where it was a man and then like 25 suitors. But then all of the 25 suitors just ended up hooking up with each other. And the actual man that they were supposed to be competing over was like a total afterthought. And he's like, hello, as they're like having sex in front of him. And I do think that that was like pretty perceptive. That sort of structurally speaking, you couldn't have an all-male bachelor because all of the contestants would just end up banging one another.
Yes. There was one show also in the early 2000s that was uniquely horrific called A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Okay.
An Asian-American bisexual woman where she was like, I'm going to have half of my contestants on the show are going to be men, half are going to be women. And the tagline for the show, the thing that she said over and over and over again was like, and then I'll decide once and for all, do I like men or do I like women? And
oh,
I was like,
no.
This isn't what bisexuality is.
Oh, no.
It was a similar sort of thing where I was like, how long is this going to hold out until lesbians just start making out?
Yeah.
So, like, yes, there are challenges with, like, gay batch stuff. The other thing that is, like, straight up garbage, like, utter and complete garbage that has happened on the show was, like, there are people on set whose job it is to make sure that everyone's glass is full of booze at every point.
Oh, right.
So they're, like, pretty actively getting people drunk. At one point on one of the spinoff shows, Bachelor in Paradise, which is sadly the best of the spinoff shows, they got folks super drunk, and this woman who had had sort of a villain edit in her season of The Bachelor and a man who had had a really good guy edit both got super drunk. They had sex. She then came forward and said, I was too drunk to consent. This was not consensual.
Oh, yikes.
Right. So it became a whole big thing in, like, The Bachelor world. A bunch of people stopped watching after that. I just say all of this to say, like, cards on the table, like, bad shit happens at The Bachelor. There's no question about that. And it's, like, extremely straight. It's extremely white. It's extremely Christian. And it is exclusively thin people. There has not ever been a fat person.
Right.
Like, every once in a while, there's, like, a chubby mom when they do, like, meet the parents or whatever. But, like, part of what's really fascinating to me about it is that it is a window into a world that I truly know nothing about.
Right.
Like, there's no world in which I would encounter Lunch Meet Chad.
Yes.
I really appreciate that this is a show that, like, genuinely challenges my preconceptions about folks in some big ways and confirms some of them. So, like, before we, like, dive into all that, it feels, like, worth talking about just, like, the mechanics of the show. I'm guessing you've never watched an episode of The Bachelor.
Yes. Explain to me how this whole situation works.
Okay. So the basic premise of The Bachelor is that there is one lead who is The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
And do they switch off or are these completely separate shows?
They're, like, separate shows, quote unquote. But, like, I don't know anyone who's like, I watch The Bachelor, but I don't watch The Bachelorette.
Right.
Because if you have a season of The Bachelor, the next bachelorette is chosen from the pool of, like, the final four.
Oh.
It's a really smart setup for a show.
And then are the actual bachelors or bachelorettes, like, are these people prizes? Like, are they nice and smart and cute? And, like, do they really feel like however many people should be fighting over them?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. And I think the show has gotten more interesting over time as they lean into, like, oh, maybe our lead is a shitbag. And they've had a few true dirtbag leads where, like, the entire audience has, like, turned on them. There was one guy named Ari, who was a race car driver who fully, like, went through the whole process, proposed to a woman. They got engaged. She was super happy. While they were engaged, this is, like, after the show ends, but before they filmed the, like, reunion special thing. The show actually films them having this conversation, and it is the wildest fucking thing I've ever seen. Where they had one camera on him, one camera on the woman that he proposed to, where he explains to her that he never got over the other finalist.
Okay.
And that he actually needs to go be with her. And you just watch the woman that he proposed to, like, fall apart and then unload on him and just be like, what the fuck? You did all of this on TV. You had all of these thoughts. You knew all the time. You had both options. And now you're fucking breaking up with me on TV. Like, yeah. Fuck right off, dude. So there are these really interesting moments where you get to actually see, like, actual adults breaking up or figuring shit out in their relationships. And sometimes they do that in a really mature and interesting way that models good mm-hmm. behavior. And sometimes
yeah.
they really fuck it up.
So how do they do the sort of competition? Like if I'm, it's 25 contestants, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I'm one of the 25, how do I like prove myself to the Bachelorette?
So they start out with like a pretty large pool of contestants. Like mm-hmm. you say, it's like sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 30. Sometimes they bring wow. in more people partway through. It's a whole thing. But basically they have each episode has a group date, a one-on-one date, and sometimes they'll also have something called a two-on-one date. So group oh. dates are you take like 8 or 10 or 12 people and they all go play like touch football or something. And he's like, whoever wins the game gets like an evening with me.
Oh, it's so weird. Because then everyone is like competing to get your attention on this date.
Not only that, but on these, the one-on-one dates in particular are like extremely luxe, over the top. Like 50% of the one-on-one dates, I'm making up that number, are like involve a helicopter somehow. Nice. Right? Or they'll like go zip lining, or they'll go skydiving, or they'll go on a shopping spree and like on Rodeo Drive. And then she comes back into the house with all these shopping bags, like dressed to the nines. And it like stokes all of this resentment.
Which, of course, yeah, it's structured to provoke jealousy because that's like the other side of the drama. It's not just like who falls in love, but it's like who's mean and catty to each other in the ranch house or whatever.
That's exactly right. And then people like develop this sort of drama with each other. And then at some point it gets so intense that someone goes to the lead and says, I just want you to know about this person. You can't really trust them.
They fucking snitch on each other?
Oh, 100%. And reliably, there's one person who's like a very clear villain.
Oh, right, of course.
Who like the lead gets pretty into or keeps around for too long. So traditionally, each episode begins with a group date, then a one-on-one date, then a cocktail party where like everybody gets to be in the same space and sort of compete for time with the lead in that way. Mm-hmm. And then after the cocktail party, there's a rose ceremony where there's a set number of roses that is fewer than the number of contestants. The lead hands them out to folks. And there's some dispute over like to what degree is the lead picking people and to what degree are producers picking people. But like, again, standard issue reality show bullshit.
Aubrey, can we watch a clip?
Do you want to watch a clip?
I want to watch a clip so bad.
Okay, so here is what I will say. I'm going to drop one into the chat for you.
Okay.
I'm going to tee this up a little bit. There was a season, I think this was like maybe 2 seasons ago. A woman named Hannah was the lead on The Bachelorette. She is a white woman from Alabama. She is a like dedicated Christian. Mm-hmm. Most of the leads are very, very Christian.
Does that mean they don't fuck?
So early on, they did have this whole weird sort of Disney princess version mm-hmm. of sort of straight romance. A lot of tuxedos, lots of like princess dresses. They will have these very set up shots where like two people are on a date and they kiss and then fireworks go off behind them.
Oh my God.
Like it's so ridiculous. At some point they introduce the idea of quote unquote fantasy suites.
Okay.
Which is when you get to the final three, they get this card that says, I might actually have the language of this memorized where they go, should you choose to forgo your individual rooms for the night, like here's a key to the fantasy suite, you can decide to spend the night together.
Okay.
That's the final three. So this is like all the way through the show. Okay. Right?
So you get to have sex with somebody who you've gone on like weird dates with. Like you've gone shopping
yeah.
and like horseback riding and bungee jumping together. And now you're ready to just have like normal conventional sexual intercourse.
Yes, totally. Okay. For a while early on when they introduced the fantasy suites, they would talk about like, they'll go, how was your night last night? And they'll go, we just had some conversations that we really needed to have. And we had some like deep talks. Right? Just like, they won't say shit about shit. They've started to acknowledge that like people fuck.
Okay.
And in recent years, it has developed a much more I wouldn't say sex positive, but like less sex negative vibe.
I was reading literature about this for a You're Wrong About episode this week. And like the vast, vast, vast majority, like more than 90% of Americans have premarital sex.
Yes.
Like it's very weird that it still retains this air of scandal when like literally more than 9 out of 10 people are doing this. Like we don't need to be coy about this.
It's like theater.
Yes.
So Hannah is a white woman from Alabama. Luke, who we're going to see this clip of, is also a white dude, also from the South. He's from Georgia, I think. Mm-hmm. He is even bigger on Christianity. He has a whole backstory about how he used to sleep with women until he had a revelation from God while he was in the shower.
Okay.
Like, this is a big part of it for some reason. He has to have been in the shower. And he decided to be celibate. So he's been celibate now for several years. This is like faith is a big part of his life. He's also profoundly manipulative and controlling.
Okay.
I would say broadly speaking, he's got like major abuser sort of energy, and he pretty much goes all the way. The clip we're going to see is like final four, I think.
Wait, so his whole thing is I'm a virgin, I don't sleep with women, but I'm going to bang the main lady.
Not I'm going to bang her, we're going to get married. So the show ends with a proposal.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, is
oh,
this...
Oh, shit, buddy.
Is this legally binding? Like it's a real proposal?
It's not legally binding.
Okay.
If it was, 22 out of the 25 leads would be okay. Sued. Because people just like famously like propose and then break up before they get married.
Okay, good.
There are a handful of folks who've gotten married and seem very happy together, which is lovely, but most folks break up, right? So they get to the final three. They go on these fantasy suite dates. What we're going to watch is a little clip of Hannah talking about her relationship to the fantasy suites. Basically, Luke sort of demands to know in the lead up to this conversation whether or not she's had sex with anyone else in the process, because this like celibacy thing is very important to him, blah, blah, blah. He demands to know who she has slept with. And then she's like, you don't actually have any right to ask me that.
Yeah.
He says, if you slept with anyone else, I would want to go home.
Okay.
And then she goes, sorry, you're telling me you're out if I've slept with anyone else? Like, that's bullshit. And he goes, no, I'm saying I'd be willing to work through it. So that's where we're going to pick up.
Okay.
I dropped the link into the chat.
Okay. Here we go.
Honestly, like, you have already broken my heart through this. Like, truly. And I've broken my own heart because I've allowed everything. And to have you say this about me and make me feel like you would look at me any differently and judge me or make me feel like you would not think of me as a woman of faith like I am and that we weren't on the same page. And it's like you're holding yourself. No, 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 no. You're holding other people to a standard that you don't even live by. Maybe because you abstain from sex, but there's a lot of things that you struggle with. And it's like, because I might want to or have had sex, that's like your ex awful. Like I could have exed you off so many times from being my husband, from things that I want out of a relationship. And that it's just sex for you. And that you're like, if you've had sex, then I'm going home. It's like, well, I want somebody who can get along with people, who doesn't have pride issues. Like, there's so many things that I don't want out of a husband that you've shown. And so it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's a big, like, you. That's what that is. I feel like I've finally gotten clarity on you. And I do not want you to be my husband.
He's livid.
He's so fucking mad.
I am so uncomfortable right now. The show, through like the music and the sort of general sense of suspense and the way that they keep cutting to his face looking like incandescent with rage and
yes,
like mumbling things under his breath. And he tries to cut in at one point and she's like, no, 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 no. I'm just going to keep going. I need to say this. And he like cannot handle it.
He is like, again, big abuser energy, super. Right? Like, even just in this clip where he says next to nothing, you're like, this dude is gonna fucking punch her.
Dude, yeah.
And that has been the vibe for however many, like a dozen episodes or more up to this point, where she's like super into him. People keep telling her, like, he's bad news, and she doesn't really hear it. And this is the moment where she, like, sees it. And she's like, hey, actually, fuck you. I'm going to sleep with who I want to sleep with. And she does it from this frame of, like, I'm a Christian woman and I get to make that decision, which I find actually, like, really fucking interesting.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of what I find really fascinating about the show is that it has become this place for predominantly straight women to decide what is, like, and sort of collectively discuss what is and isn't okay in relationships.
Right.
This was a really clear moment of, like, actually, fuck this guy, right? Like, universally, people were like, fuck Luke, what an asshole.
Yeah.
And it became the space to talk about abuse without talking about abuse.
Right. I mean, it is like a classic abuse move to be like, I need the names of everybody you slept with before me. Like, adults should not be doing this to each other.
Totally, totally. So part of what the show has really grown into recently is we're going to give you these incredible moments of, like, people figuring out that a garbage person is a garbage person and then telling them the fuck off.
Yes.
And this is one of those moments. So I just sent you, this is the same clip, but it's like the end of the same clip.
Okay.
Basically, in the interim, what has happened is she has been like, I'm sending you home right now. We're not going through with the whole rose ceremony. You're just leaving now because I'm fucking done. She gets up to walk him out, which is like a traditional sort of like bachelor thing. Like, let me walk you to the car that like drives you away. And he refuses to get up. So he's like, I feel like you owe me a chance to explain myself. And she fully explodes and goes, I don't owe you shit. Like, I don't owe you anything.
Dude.
Like, get up and go. I have given you chance after chance after chance after chance. And I'm done giving you chances. You have got to go.
That's also like classic abuser move too. When somebody's breaking up with you and like taking a unilateral decision to be like, actually, let me negotiate you into changing your position. Like, let's treat this as if we're debating, you know, should the minimum wage be higher rather than like, I am done with you.
Totally. So like at one point they cut to one of those talking head interviews and she says something like, Luke wants love, but only with if it's with someone who wants exactly what he wants.
Right.
He just wants like a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she finally gets him to get up and walk out to the car. They are standing outside of the car. That's where this clip starts. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm so uncomfortable. Okay.
There's something in me that is refusing me to get into that vehicle right now. Because my...
If you really... I can probably get you to go in that limo from what you said. I'm like... I'm so mad. So, like, I have had sex.
Say what?
Yeah. And I... Jesus still loves me. From obviously how you feel, me in a windmill... You probably want to leave.
I didn't just go to the fantasy suite. I in a windmill. And guess what? We did it a second time.
And my husband would never say what you said to me.
Can I pray over you before I leave?
Oh.
No.
So there you go. We can stop there. But I fucking love him being like, can I pray over you before you leave? Every gay bone in my body was just like, fuck you.
Yeah, do it in the minivan, Chet.
So like, that's the kind of thing that has started happening on the show. The biggest sort of like viral moments of the show are these moments when women tell off trash dudes.
Yeah.
The most recent season of The Bachelorette, there was one guy who like went off on the lead Bachelorette contestant and he was like, you'd be a bad example for my daughter and I don't want to have you in my life and blah, blah, blah. She's like in her late 30s.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I expected more mature behavior from the oldest Bachelorette.
That's such a neg, dude. Holy shit.
He was so shitty to her. And then she just starts yelling at him. And then he walks away and she just starts yelling at the camera. And she's wearing this like spangly, like, you know, sequin gown. And she starts pointing after him while he's walking away. And she's yelling at the camera. And she goes, "The reason I'm the oldest bachelorette is that I didn't settle for men like that."
Oh.
So I actually genuinely think that the show at its best is women keying into dudes' garbage behavior, and sometimes dudes keying into women's garbage behavior and telling them the fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes the space for, again, sort of like negotiating what relationships can and should look like, yeah, and sort of changing the terms of the conversation in a very like radicalize the normies kind of way. It's also The Bachelor, so it's not really radicalizing that much, right? Like, it's bringing a conversation that is probably about 20 years past due to the show.
It more reflects changing social mores than it creates them, probably.
Absolutely.
It's a little glimpse into like the way that people are behaving in relationships now that don't always line up with this like Disney princess nonsense that we're still getting from like mainstream stories.
Totally. And for that to come from the show that was selling, that has been selling and continues to sell that stuff. I mean, like, there was a great season a couple years back where the lead was a woman named Rachel Lindsay. She was the first Black woman to be the lead on The Bachelorette. They pulled some shit where they cast like a very racist dude on the season, and then she had to find out that he was super duper racist.
Oh, come on. That's so evil.
It's so evil. But she also like genuinely fell in love with a dude who, when they got to the stage where they're supposed to end with a proposal, she was like, "I'm ready to get engaged." And he was like, "I'm not. This has all been on a TV show and I'm not there yet." And she was like, "So listen, I came on here to get engaged.
Right.
That was my deal. And now you're telling me you're not ready. And that feels real shitty." And you watch them talk out like, okay, it looks like we really are in love and we really are at an impasse. And then they break up on screen.
Wow. That's like pretty adult.
It's extremely adult. So you get these moments where people are sort of like, you know, doing pretty emotionally immature things. You get moments where people are like being extremely mature like that. But you get sort of this pretty broad spectrum of how people act in relationships. There's also a bunch of reality show bullshit. It's just really interesting to me. Like this moment with Hannah, I was sort of like out on Hannah. I was just like, I don't need like a white lady who's like big on Alabama football. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, I feel no connection to this. And then she sort of had this turning point with Luke. And I was like, I've never been more all in.
Has a man ever hit a woman on the show? I thought he was going to hit her.
It so looked like he was going to hit her. No, men have hit other men on the show.
Okay.
I wonder, I could see maybe that a woman might have slapped another woman.
I'm assuming there's a supercut of all the times people have thrown drinks on each other. That seems like the level of violence that this show would be peddling in.
I think we should watch a little Chad clip.
Please, God, yes. This is the lunch meat suitcase guy, right?
I realized I was wrong about the suitcase being full of lunch meat. It really was full of protein powder.
Oh, okay.
But while he's talking about his suitcase full of protein, they show him just like tossing back. Like he just has a plate with like that sort of like formed stack of lunch meat on it. And he's sort of tossing it in his mouth. So that's where my lunch meat false association came from. So we're not going to watch Chad's actual blow up because it's legitimately like kind of distressing. There is a woman on this season of Bachelor in Paradise who has one arm. She was born with one arm that ends in fingertips and another one that ends sort of at her elbow. And he like gets drunk. He starts like fondling women. He starts calling them bitches. He calls her a one-armed bitch. All of this shit where you're just like, dude, this is gross.
That's really bad.
He has gotten super drunk and passed out. And this is what happens the next day. At this point, they had never kicked someone out of Bachelor in Paradise. And what we're about to see is the first time they have kicked someone out of Bachelor in Paradise.
Wait, so, okay, the title of the clip is Chad Tells Off Chris Harrison. Who's Chris Harrison?
Oh, shit. Chris Harrison is the host. At first, you know, 20 years ago when the show first started, he was sort of like a, like, confidant for the leads, and he still is, but now he's kind of like a dad vibes confidant.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Dude, yeah.
Let's do this.
Oh, he's ripped.
He's extremely ripped.
Jesus Christ.
They frequently refer to him as being like roided out.
Yeah.
No, I didn't do this anymore. I'm serious this time.
Oh, he's throwing stuff. He's mad.
He threw down his mic pack.
Well, on that note, that was awkward, boy.
Is this where you do the slow clap? Hi, Felicia.
There's like 10 women and 10 men. Oh, fucking everybody's ripped. What the fuck? Nobody has clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crabs everywhere. Why crabs everywhere? You crabs.
I feel bad for him because he did have a conversation with me last night about how, you know, his mom died. And so I think he's covering up for something, but he just can't own up to whatever. So I'm okay with him gone.
I have a lot of friends whose parents have passed away and they're not. It doesn't make it okay.
Chad, you can't stay. Time to go.
I can't believe it happened again, man. I can't believe it happened again.
They're gonna have to make this the weirdest exit ever. I'm not on camera, I'm not doing it again. No, you're not gonna make me look like a and then present me as such and then do this to me. When I'm making jokes, I'm having fun. No. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Chad.
I have nothing in my life.
It's over. It's time to go. You're making this a lot worse than it needs to be.
No, you're gonna come here and make me look like a bitch and play into everything they're saying. You act like you seen me. You didn't even watch it. You went to sleep last night with a mimosa and a robe on. You didn't even watch the show. So what are they gonna do? Air you watching the show from your hotel room 1,000 miles away? Dude?
This isn't helping. You gotta go.
Yeah, and you know I'm right. What are you gonna do? You got nothing to say. You got nothing to say either.
It's disappointing. I was just as excited to meet him, and I was hoping, you know, he'd be funny and entertaining, and I was really wrong.
He maybe should,
see a therapist?
Seek help.
I wanna talk to you. I'm serious. That's not a joke. You, dude.
How is this making it better?
How is what making what? Like, go drink your mimosas. Get your robe 100 miles away like you do, because you don't know about anybody here. Just send me home. You can do this and you think this is all like fun and games. This is my life. This is my life. And you're gonna sit here and you're gonna try and make me look like a bitch. You, Chris Harrison.
So, there you go.
So, okay, I feel torn because on one hand, he's like clearly a nightmare. On the other, he's very hot and just like a total mess. And so my emotions are being pulled in two directions right now.
I forgot about your weakness for mean hot people.
Because my logical brain is like, this is a disaster. And then every other part of me is like, I need to date him forever.
Oh no, Mike.
We just need to date for the rest of our lives. And I will fix and rescue him.
Oh, Mike, no. Does it help to know that he's extremely like low-key homophobic? Not even low-key, high-key.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that's Chad. He's an asshole. He's also probably an alcoholic. And in this clip, he's not wrong, right? He is not wrong that he's like, who the fuck are you? Like, this is my whole life. Like, you guys are going to make decisions about how I'm portrayed.
I also, there is something so funny about someone who like tries to own another person with something totally nonsensical and then thinks that it's a sick burn. He's like, go drink a mimosa. That's a thing people do.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So Bachelor in Paradise, we should talk about, you sort of flagged this during the clip. The setup of Bachelor in Paradise is they take all of their sort of like biggest and best characters and people who got cut early but had the interesting storylines and villains and heroes and sort of they put them on a beach in Mexico and there are no activities, there's no competition, there's no nothing.
Oh.
They've just sort of created this environment where conflict happens pretty naturally, and it feels quite a bit less produced to me than The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
So just like a bunch of hot people with like literally nothing else to do.
Absolutely.
All they can do is like have sex with each other or fight or do something else that is going to make for good footage.
And they don't have, there's no like fantasy suites, there's no illusion that people are not having sex. Like they're just like having sex, making out, coupling up, and then like breaking up or going on to like continue to have a relationship. And there's also no expectation of a proposal. Those have happened sometimes, but for the most part, it's just like, do you want to stay together? Great.
It reminds me a lot of the real world where so much of the drama is caused by the fact that the contestants aren't allowed to bring like their smartphones or watch TV or have outside friends. I mean, so much of it is literally you're just basically trapped in this house and you're bored.
Yeah.
You're going to be talking with these people and they're just going to get on your nerves because you're kind of forced to interact with them for every waking moment.
Totally. So like, that's Bachelor in Paradise. It is, I think, for my money, every other show exists now to feed into Bachelor in Paradise, the single best thing that like happens on the show. The other clip that I wanted to show you In addition to negotiating what kind of behavior and what kind of like conduct in relationships is and isn't okay, there is also this incredible backlog of what I refer to amongst my friends as heterosexual nonsense, which is like extremely like straight cringe content where you're just like, what the fuck is any of this? And also like deeply like white cringe because it is such an overwhelmingly white show.
What are they doing, like gender reveal parties or something?
Oh, you'll get it in a second. We're just going to watch the very beginning of this. I'm not going to subject you to the whole thing. But one of the group dates, this was some time ago, there was a bachelorette named Desiree who had a group date. And their idea for the group date was that, like, all of the men on the group date would have to rap a verse of a song.
Oh, no.
Right.
Ooh, like from like freestyle?
Yes. They had to like write and rap their own verses. And then they made a music video of it, which is full of extremely garbage. Just like white dudes wearing grills and shit like that. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, ugh.
My name is Michael Hobbs, and I'm here to say this clip is going to be cringe, and that's not okay.
Oh, Michael, I wish that you were further off from what actually happens in this video. So we're gonna play a little clip that I think about the opening lines of this at least twice a week.
Oh no. Okay.
Because it is very, my name is Michael and I'm here to say,
oh my god,
I love to rap in a bachelor way. So we'll just watch a tiny, tiny bit of it.
Oh no. No. Oh no.
I'm the bachelorette and I'm rapping to your poolside. Here to find a true lover man from
Aubrey.
My whole life. Last time he saw me, I was crying in a limo. Sean sent me home and put my heart in limbo. Dating all these guys really ain't that easy. I'm looking for a husband, not abs and a cheesy. Smile for the camera, let's go on a date. Will he be a judge, a surveyor, maybe stage?
Step up, right
reason. I don't know how much of this I can take.
I mean, that's it. I just wanted you to, we can stop there. I just wanted you to hear, I'm the bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside.
Oh.
Everything about it is so bad. So they go on and do like a series of verses that are truly terrible. Actually, I am going to have you watch the very end because I think the very end is also very funny.
Okay.
I realize I neglected to mention that this was a group date that was formulated around like Soulja Boy was available. So Soulja Boy is also like on this track and in this video. We're not going through all of the like dudes rapping.
Thank you.
Oh, the other thing is the name of the song is Right Reasons. There is all this talk, like being there for quote unquote the right reasons is a big thing in The Bachelor. And the idea is there are some people who are on the show just to get famous. And there are other people who are there for the right reasons, which is to fall in love with somebody.
Come on, you guys. Oh my fucking God. Really?
Yes.
What is the right reason to go on a reality show?
So like there's all this shit where there will be like contestants sort of like going to the lead and going, I think Jed isn't here for the right reasons.
Oh my
and
God.
I heard him saying he has a girlfriend back home.
So is the presumption that the right reason to go on there is to meet somebody through like extremely contrived dates while being filmed and competing with 24 other people? Like that's the right reason?
Mm-hmm. Correct. The non-cynical reason to be on this reality show juggernaut that is produced to the hilt. Yeah. All right. So the closing of this, I'm just going to have us watch because Chris Harrison, the host, closes it out.
Okay.
And that is also very funny and very cringe.
Nightmare. Okay. Oh no.
That's how it goes. But who will get final rose? Stay with us on this journey of joy.
Spoiler alert.
She ends up with Soulja Boy.
Oh my God.
There you go.
I want to die.
It's so terrible. Ugh. I was like, I really want to end on something that I know that you will hate.
My brain is like rejecting that like a transplant. Like I can't process what just happened.
Oh, Mike. Oh. It's so terrible.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, I mean, that's most of it with The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I think there's stuff about it that's interesting. I think there's stuff about it that's totally uninteresting. And either way, it is this sort of like never-ending parade of characters.
Yeah.
It started out for me as sort of like a field guide to like a particular kind of heterosexuality.
Yes.
That I don't really have any experience with. And it has turned into this really interesting window of like where are the points at which like feminist politics show up? What are the points at which anti-racist politics show up? What are the points at which disability politics show up? Right. Like there are sort of these interesting little sneaker waves, like the Hannah telling off Luke sort of moment where you're like, oh shit, I don't think I've ever heard a Christian woman tell off a Christian man.
By saying that she fucked someone. It's
by
lit.
Saying that she fucked someone,
yeah.
That she deserves to fuck someone, and that Jesus still loves her. I was like, damn!
It's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you. So you came into this not knowing much about The Bachelor. You now know a tiny bit. Is there anything in this that surprised you? Is there anything in this that interested you? Do you mostly feel sort of the same? Like, have your thoughts or feelings changed about the show at all?
I mean, if I had someone to watch it with, I would absolutely watch this show. Mm. I'm not going to like pretend that I'm above this show. Like, trash reality TV, I think is fine. Like for all of the reasons that you say, like it's edifying if you want to find edifying parts. It's horrifying if you want to find horrifying parts. But like, that's literally just like the human experience. That is the experience of knowing other people.
Totally.
It's a totally fine way to spend a Tuesday, Thursday, whatever night it's on. Like there are worse ways to spend an hour on a weeknight. And I'm doing most of them.
It's Mondays for 2 hours and toward the finale, Mondays and Tuesdays for 3 hours each. It is an obscene amount of time.
That's actually really incredible.
It's so much time. It's less time than like Love Island or Big Brother or those ones that are like, we're on 4 times a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But it is a significant time commitment. And we're in quarantine, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just, I'm really disappointed in your viewing habits, Aubrey. Go drink a fucking mimosa, Aubrey. Go drink a fucking mimosa. Come at me, bro.
What do you care? You're drinking a mimosa in your robe.
Fucking owned the shit out of you just now.